words. And people follow people, but seldom follow them dreams. They tend to follow dreams, but never know what they mean. These are wise words. Pay attention to these wise words.
All right, we're here on another episode of the relaunch of Wise Words. I have Sheree here with me and my co-host, Whitey, Mark. I just met Sheree. I don't know a whole lot about her, but it's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I appreciate you being here today. And we're going to learn about each other right here, right now. So before we get really started, just kind of give us a little bit of your background and tell us what you do.
So I work as a clinical therapist. I work in foster care. I'm program director for foster care. Work with a lot of troubled teens.
Okay.
So I got hooked up with you through Whitey.
Mm-hmm.
I found him on Facebook. I know him from back in the day a little bit.
Yeah.
He never really introduced me, but I knew him from his music.
Okay.
So I contacted him for some music therapy for some kids that I work with troubled teens. Okay. So I work with teenagers that's been through the juvenile system.
Gotcha.
That's been through sex trafficking, that's been through abuse. And I do music therapy. So I have different artists come in, local artists come in, teach them how to write their emotions in music, and then have them put beats to it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So it's very purpose driven.
Yes.
You have a very big purpose behind it. What kind of got you started in this field? What made you want to dive into this?
It started back when I was in high school, but I wanted to do psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And psychology is not really big when I was growing up. So then I went into mental health counseling. I wanted to help people that needed that. And then I started out in the criminal. I worked for judges and I worked for lawyers. And then I realized working in family law that kids needed it more than
Absolutely.
The parents did.
Absolutely.
And the kids were going through a lot of stuff and I wanted to reach them before they got into the adult world and started making bad choices.
Yes.
And then foster care just kind of fell in my lap.
That's awesome. I mean, to hear, you know, that's the direction you're headed in and the people you're helping, because, you know, we got to start with the youth, so.
Yeah, that's the way we get to impact the future.
Absolutely.
Is through the youth.
So where are you from?
I'm from Russellville.
From Russellville, okay. It's the second person we've had on our episode so far from Russellville, so it's cool to kind of keep it close. I feel like everybody's got a story, you know, and if we can tell our story, it helps someone else that, you know, may not know that their purpose or, you know, that they can actually have an impact. So, you know, just being here to tell your story hopefully will help other people out. So I like to start this this off with, it's called Wise Words. So do you have any favorite quote that you live by or that, you know, that's kind of like your mantra or motto?
Well, I have Hebrews 6:19 tatted on me, which is from the Bible, which talks about God being the anchor of the soul. So no matter what goes on, God's the anchor of the soul, and he's always there to help you. So that's what I've always fell back on.
So the hot topic right now is the new movie.
Sound of Freedom.
Sound of mm-hmm. Freedom. So I think that ties in perfectly with what you're talking about. And I also know of a charity. I might mess up on the name of it, but it's like Underground Railroad or something like that. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, that guy in the movie started that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've actually donated to it way before I heard about the movie.
Because have you heard about them trying to sabotage the...
And they try to sabotage everything good. So that's what we're trying to do, is give everybody a voice here.
So that's... And fact check me, but certain theaters that are showing this movie, this film, when people go there to watch it, they'll tell you that there's like electrical problems going on in the theater, so you can watch the movie, but it's going to be hot in there. Or, you know, the movie skips or something's going on with it. So, you know, tinfoil hat theory is that, you know, people are trying to sabotage people watching this movie. And if you look in the media, they're not really giving a whole lot of coverage on it. It's not good reviews. It's,
but a lot of people's talking about it.
Yeah,
though.
But, you know, the voice of the people, I feel like, you know, is this is a good movie.
I hadn't watched it yet. I definitely want to. Have y'all watched it?
I haven't watched it yet, but do you know there's a sex trafficking safe house here in
really?
Bowling Green? Yes. I work with Dr. Asdy Garland. She's a psychologist, and she actually started it. It's called Phoenix Rising.
I've heard of that.
And she helps sex trafficking boys and girls, helps them get back in. So because I work in foster care, that's how I met her.
You know, I think a lot of people kind of, you know, it's below the radar and they act like it doesn't happen. It's not going on.
Yeah, and they try, I feel like they try to nerf the sexual abuse aspect of it. So when I looked up the statistics, they was like, only 1 in 4 kids that are actually sexually abused with sex trafficking. Most of it is for child labor. Mm-hmm. So I feel like they're kind of trying to sugarcoat, you know, the
human trafficking than sex trafficking.
Mm. But so we're diving into hot water, fresh off the jump. So
yeah, there were I think there were near 400 cases in Kentucky last year mm-hmm. of human trafficking or whatever
that we know of.
Yeah. So
I mean, let's be honest. What kind of, you know, what higher up is behind all? You know what I'm saying? It's got to be something bigger behind all of this. It's not just, you know, the local. Pedo or what?
So, how many of those kids have you worked with, say, in the past year or two, that are direct victims of?
All right. Well, when I first started, I had about 40 kids on my caseload, and I'd say about 20% of them had some kind of sex trafficking going on. Some of it was their own parents. Some of them were brought over here from coyotes.
That's what I was about to ask. Another thing is, I feel like areas that are war-torn, or let's say even hit with natural disasters where people are misplaced from their homes, mm-hmm. would be like a prime feeding ground for that type of activity, right? Like hurricanes, or let's say like what's going on in Ukraine right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, how easy is it to report a kid missing? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? When you got a war going on, but they're mm-hmm. really just, you know, kidnapped. And
was there a spike after, like, the tornadoes we had here? Did you notice anything like that?
Well, with the homeless that was under the bridge before they moved all of them, there was a lot that was down there.
Mm.
And then I actually had one that went AWOL, and she went back to it because she just didn't.
Yeah, so they get kind of
institutionalized. Yes, and brainwashed.
Yeah.
Before we get too far away from this topic, you know, if someone is experiencing, you know, this, how can they reach out to you, or where do they go?
Well, I mean, they can go to those safe houses that they have. They can go online and look it up. I mean, if they don't have access to any of that, of course. I mean, they can contact me. I can give them my number out and everything at the end.
Okay, we'll tag it on.
And we can do that. And then they can also contact Dr. Ajay as well, because she helps with that too, is finding them safe homes to go to. Gotcha. Especially if you know somebody that needs to get out, she knows how to help with that as well.
So what are some things that you look for
signs
in a kid, yeah, that might be subject to any kind of abuse or trafficking or anything like that?
Sometimes they act out more in the homes, like sexually acting out behaviors, because they're used to that.
Yeah.
And they think that's how they're supposed to get loved on.
Yeah.
So their self-esteem is really low, so they have more negative behaviors because that's how they get attention. They act their negative attention is what brings them attention. And they think that's what's supposed to be.
Mm.
And then they self-sabotage. So they self-sabotage because they feel like they're supposed to move home to home. When somebody's being nice to them, they think that's wrong.
Huh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they self-sabotage to go to another foster home, and it just keeps, it's a routine. It's just something that they just keep doing.
Is there a certain age that is more at risk?
They usually do them young.
Yeah.
I've noticed that it starts anywhere from 10 to 12, and then when they reach teenage years, it usually stops. Or sometimes they get out by the time they get in teens, because they're old enough to fight back, or they're old enough to tell somebody and know that it's wrong.
So this is another thing, like, where is the market at for this? Like, because there has to be a demand for it. It's just like the drug game, that, you know, people's buying it. So, like, where is the market? Like, where do they take these kids when they, like, kidnap them? Like, how do they find, do they have just, like, little inner circle cliques? Or is it on the dark web? Or where all this
child porn's at? Right now, it's kind of like out in the open. Like right now, like if you see a $5 bill out in the parking lot and a kid picks it up, they can snatch them. Like that's one of the goals, is a kid picks up a $5 bill because that's money to them. They pick it up. If there's not a parent with them, they'll snatch the kid.
What about, like, I've seen like marks on cars and stuff like that.
If you see like the ties on the door handles that shows that they are into the sex trafficking, and you can go up to the car and they'll deal you with the sex trafficking.
Wow. So they kind of like follow you.
And right now it's kind of big like in Barron County, because there's some there's a group over there that's been doing that.
So what's being done to combat this? You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, for the, and I'll use this term loosely, the war on drugs, they have drug task forces in the communities that they fund, the, you know, tax money or seizure money or whatnot. Why isn't there more like trafficking task force?
Yeah, right. I don't think there's a lot of people that, I don't think there's anybody that's actually doing it. I think it's just regular law enforcement. And I think DCBS and like us is the ones that's finding out about it, and we're having to turn it in, do the investigation.
So, I mean, this seems like, you know, kind of an at-risk position that you're at. Do you ever, like, receive threats, or has there ever been anyone that reached out, like, anonymously to you that, you know?
Well, kind of all right, let's rewind it back. So, the people that are behind this are responsible for this, the umbrella holders, I guess. They're obviously people that are in positions of power. They maybe have political influence, influence in the streets. So they look at you as a threat, right?
Right.
They might want to knock you off your square or...
opposition.
Yeah. So what are some of the obstacles that you run into on a day-to-day basis from these trafficking groups?
I don't run into a lot of obstacles because they really don't know what position that I do outside of. Like, they don't know that I'm a therapist. They don't know what kids I work with, because all that is confidential. So they don't know until that kid is moved or it goes to court or if I have to testify in court. So if I have to testify in court, then that's when I get released. So right now everything's been kind of confidential. I haven't had any issues with anybody or anything like that. But if it comes out, then there might be obstacles. But I haven't been worried about it so far, because it's for the kids. So whatever's right for the kids, I'm going to fight for them.
Yeah. So, I mean, switching gears just a little bit, like, and like outside of this, what are some things you do, you know, as hobbies and whatnot?
It's all related to kids, I guess, because I do a lot with kids. I do a lot of events with kids, and I also work with, like the Guardians of the Children. Do you know who they are? Do you know who Guardians of the Children
are? Just talk about it.
Okay, well, they're a motorcycle gang, but they're not technically a gang. They're just like a club that helps kids with the child abuse.
Yeah,
I do know what you're talking about.
So I've worked with them some, and they've started to work with us, so they're going to start doing some mentoring stuff with us for the boys. We have a lot of boys that are in foster care, so they don't... course, with foster care, it's mainly going into a single parent home, because a lot of women want to do foster care, but basically men don't. So it's usually the women, so we don't have men that can help the boys when they get into trouble. So we have Guardians of Children that I've worked with, and they're going to start, I've got a couple that's going to start coming in and maybe do a mentoring program with the boys to keep them out of trouble. And then I do events with them to help raise child abuse.
So you say, like, so, like, single women, I know men and, like, related, you know, couples probably do more than either individual, you know, do on their own. Like, a single person wouldn't probably subscribe to this as much as a couple.
Well, a single person actually does it more than a couple does. Okay. Most of the time.
Okay. But it's more female than male.
More female than male.
Okay.
So how do you balance the, because your job has to be emotionally exhausting.
Yes.
How do you balance that? Because I know you want people that are passionate. Above all else, you want people that are passionate about this and actually give a damn at the end of the day about the kids. Like, you know, this ain't really a job for somebody that's just out to clock in and clock out.
Mm-hmm. How do you qualify?
But how do you manage to not bring it home with you? You know what I mean?
Sometimes it's hard not to bring it home with you.
Yeah.
It just depends on the day and the situation. Like, I have to take times out in the middle of the day just to have meditation.
Yeah.
Like, I have a time clock on my thing where I do a meditation for like 20 minutes in the middle of the day. Like, I just shut my door and I say, people don't come in. I close my curtains and it's 20 minutes of meditation just to break it down, because I'm also a director over the foster care now. So I have to deal and put out fires all day long. So
let's talk about the meditation a little bit, because I think that's something that gets a lot of taboo from it. You said you use an app. I know there's a few different apps.
I also do yoga therapy, because I work with adults too on the side. So I do yoga therapy, and I just use yoga therapy for myself too.
So there is no app. You're all...
Yeah, you're the real I'm doing it myself. Yeah.
So you don't like? Do you have music in the background? It's calming sounds.
Yeah, I do calming sounds, and then I use incense, and then I just kind of talk myself into
it.
I do the whole thing. Yeah,
get rid of the bad energy,
the bad vibes that come in my office all day. Yeah.
They call that smudging. I do that at my residences sometimes.
I've done it before, but then I gotta leave for some reason.
Because you are the bad guy.
I'm kidding.
And then I have to drown myself and just break it there.
Okay. So have you heard or do you practice or walking meditation? Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, I do that sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just get out of the office and do that. Or I'll do that at the end of the day before I go and do my workout.
How many hours a week do you put in?
Well, technically it's supposed to be 40, but I do anywhere from 50 to 60, 70. Last week I did 80 hours.
So 40 on paper. How many do you really put in?
I do about 70 to 80 hours a week.
I think, besides her sleep, I think it's on her mind. And, a lot of times when your mind's on something, whether you're actually clocked in or clocked out, you're still working on it. Mm-hmm. So, and that goes for any industry or any hobby or passion,
Do you feel like you're making a difference?
I do. Sometimes I feel like I fail at it because sometimes the kids don't want to change, or sometimes they just end up going out of the system because they don't want to recommit or they don't want to do the independent living. And then you see them on the news, or you see them doing something that they just never did. But it's just because they were raised that way and they don't want
to
change.
So we talked to someone recently, and they was talking about recovery and how when somebody relapses or whatnot, they can't hold themselves responsible. And I feel like that goes for you as well. You do everything you can, and at the end of the day, if it's not, if the results aren't what you want, or the desired results, you shouldn't blame yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say that to you personally.
I think it's just a mindset thing, though. I think because that's my goal at the end of the day.
I get that. But you just can't. You can't take that on yourself. You can't blame yourself for that.
Because I have 70. Well, I have 70 kids in my care, pretty much, that I have to take care of every day, and I have to make sure that the foster homes are doing what they're supposed to. And so,
70 kids, and that's how many homes?
That's probably in about 24 homes.
How many people apply to be foster parents and then actually take on kids and then say, hey, this really ain't for me?
Probably about 1 out of 10.
What do you do with the kids once that happens?
We move them to another home.
How long does it take them to get that?
Usually about a couple of weeks.
Where are they in between time?
They usually stay with them. And we'll tell them to give it a couple of weeks. But sometimes the parents will come in thinking that they're supposed to be their bio kids. So I have started doing parenting classes with the foster parents and being don't expect your kids to be like your kids.
Yeah.
Because they've got trauma, they've got behaviors, or they've got different ways they were raised.
Oh, yeah.
They wasn't raised in a Christian home. They wasn't raised in a two-parent home. They wasn't raised in a blue collar home. It was raised in poverty level, so they're gonna be.
Is it always poverty though?
No, it's not always poverty.
Right.
Some of them are high class kids. Some of them are middle class. It's just different things.
What are some things that you'd like to see done differently, if any, the way foster care is set up and ran, just let's say in Kentucky?
I think some things need to be taken more seriously. The return to the parents. Sometimes I feel like that needs to be a longer thing for the parents to go through with the court system.
Right.
They give them a parenting plan, and 6 months, sometimes they get the kids back. And sometimes I don't think it's ready for them to go back.
How often does that backfire?
About 80% of the time.
80%.
Ooh.
Yeah, so definitely something is not right there.
Which I push for my kids. I push for the parents to come in and do therapy with me Like, I want to see their interaction with the kids. Yeah. If I don't think they're interacting with the kids the way I think they should be interacting, then I send a letter to the court saying they're not ready to go home. I need to do individual therapy with that person. Mm-hmm. Because something's going on with that person for them not to have a good relationship with their kid.
Do you have kids?
No.
Do you think that helps you? Or?
I think I don't have kids because I couldn't have kids. Right. So, but I've raised everybody else's kids, if that makes sense. I think God made it why I didn't have kids, because I was supposed to take care of everybody else's.
So it kind of, it gives you more, because you care, you know, because you can't have them, it's more of a...
You appreciate.
Yeah. Yes,
thank you.
Yeah. I think I have more of a motherly instinct than some people.
All right. So, you know, your purpose may be that because of that.
Mm-hmm.
What's a day-to-day like? Where you, like,
it starts at 7:30 and usually doesn't end until about 10 o'clock at night.
What do you do to prep yourself in the mornings?
In the mornings, I do a daily Bible devotion and do prayer time. And then I do a meditation, go to work. And as soon as I walk in, I have people lined up in my office telling me what happened with their kids the night before, have a staff meeting, and then go into the day. And then about 1:30 is when my daily meditation stops for about 20 minutes.
Gotcha. So do you feel like morning routine is crucial?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I feel if I don't get up and do something positive first thing in the morning, then my day is going to be all negative.
Right. If you're not, you know, if something throws off that morning routine, you know what I'm saying, you're just not prepared. Like, if you start the day out prepared, you know, once you walk in, it's kind of like a clean slate. You kind of got to...
Because if I walk in positive, no matter how bad everybody else's day is, mine's going to be positive. And I'm going to make everybody else's positive.
Are you allowed, like, can you even take vacations?
Yes.
You do?
But it was hard.
I guarantee it.
Because I had surgery a month ago, and I was supposed to have been off for 6 weeks. I'm supposed to be off now.
Mm.
But I went back 2 days later. So so I didn't get the recovery mode.
Yeah, I believe I was on the phone with you maybe 2 days after you.
Yeah, and I was already at work.
Did you get involved with child trafficking or combating child trafficking? Like,
when I came into foster care, and then I had actually went on WNKY to advertise a bike event.
Because local matters, right?
Right. And they actually contacted me and put me in contact with Phoenix Rising, which was Dr. Azrity, and then she told me some things about the trafficking that was going on, and I started working a lot with her.
And she had kids already?
She had kids, women, teenagers that she's been working with, and she's been open for a pretty good while. I don't know how long she's been open, but she's been open for a long time.
So have you guys seen a decrease in this, or is it just continually rising?
It's continually rising. It used to be just women and girls, and now it's boys.
67% increase from last year, I believe, was the statistics in Kentucky. And they say that it's predominantly females that are the victims of sex trafficking. But, you know, who knows, really? Because statistics are just, I mean, as good as who's writing them down, you know.
Are you seeing migrants or more?
More Americans. More Americans. It's more Americans.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is there, like, a specific, like, hair color or... You know, demographic?
No.
Just all of them.
It's just usually all of them, and it usually starts in their family. And it's usually, like, drug-related. Hmm. So it's usually, like, if dad is, you know...
Which I knew, back in the day, mothers, you know, and fathers, for that matter, they would rent their babies out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to say somebody wanted to get something into the country... They'd rent their baby out. They'd come to the airport with the heroin or powder or whatever in the Enfamil bottles.
Mm-hmm.
Just little shit like that, you know. But, yeah, they've been renting their kids out for, you know, 20 years. I was hearing about that back in the day. Like, so sad.
So we talked about, like, you know, how kids can find help or, you know, reach out. Let's talk about, like, the average person that's watching this, or, you know, in general, that wants to help. Like, what's some avenues for them to contribute to
aside from signing up from being foster parents. Right,
right. Besides being foster parents, yeah. They can donate. Like, we have things that we have to do for school supplies. We have to supply them with school supplies. We have to supply them with Christmas. So they can contact us and they can donate gift cards. They can donate presents.
What's the organization?
Stepstone.
Stepstone. We'll link this, in the program so they can see it. The Stepstone is a way they can contribute.
Yes.
Is that an organization here in Bowling Green? Nationwide?
It's here in Bowling Green, and it's actually statewide. And we are actually in a few states.
What states?
North Carolina, Virginia, and right now in Arizona.
Are you training anybody to, like, because you're not obviously not going to do this for it, which you could, I guess, do this for another 20 years. But when do you see yourself kind of stepping away and
maybe
passing the torch?
Maybe in 10 years.
10 years. So do you have an out in mind? Like, do you have a transition plan into that? Or?
Well, I've already started kind of starting on a private practice so that I can work with adults and people that's not in foster care. And then I'm going to start in November. I'm going to get licensed to do court mandated therapy.
Yeah, we talked about that before. So you're actually going to start drug counseling.
The drug counseling, the DUI counseling, the domestic violence counseling.
So if someone was wanting to kind of, follow your path, what advice would you give them to get started?
To get started, they would just need to go into a program that they see that they would be fit in. Online for me was the easiest, especially if you have to work or you have kids, or you have family. You can do it at your own pace, and just do it in psychology. And then after that, if you want to be a full-time counselor, go into your master's. It takes anywhere from 4 to 5 years, but if you do it online, you can do it faster.
Okay. The music therapy. Let's touch on that. How long have you been doing that?
I've been doing that for about 2 or 3 years.
Do you play any instruments?
No. I used to sing.
Sing?
Yeah,
but sing besides the shower?
I used to sing in church.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I do interpretation dance.
Oh.
What is that?
It's a mixture of sign language and then mixture of movement. And then I used to teach hip hop dance back in the day.
So that's cool. So what are you looking for when you're looking for an artist or a band or?
I just look and see how they do with their music, how they do with their rhymes, and then I look at their, maybe some of the struggles they've been through, and see how they relate it and see if they can bring their story, come into their story or their testimony or however you want to say it.
How does he play into this? Because I know you reached out to him recently.
Well, I knew that he had done some music back in the day, and then I knew that he had some things that went on. Just because it's Logan County is where he talks.
but
I don't know his story. Yeah. I don't know anything about him. I just know of his name.
Right.
And I just knew of his music. So I really don't know his background until he told me.
Yeah, they don't tell that part.
No.
They tell everybody when you get indicted. Yeah.
But I didn't know you. I didn't know any of that.
Oh, okay.
I just knew your music. And I was just reaching out to local artists.
So is the music, is there a certain message in the music that, touches you that you're like, this is someone I need to work with?
Right.
Yeah.
So I reached out to there's a girl in Glasgow named K-Swag. I don't know if you know her or not.
I've heard the name.
Okay. Well, she just got a local record deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I got in touch with her from a teacher, and she came and spoke, and she also taught them how to do music. And so that worked well with her.
You've worked with Andre too, right?
Andre's coming next month, yeah.
He's a good dude.
Andre Mitchell. Oh, yes. Yeah. He's awesome.
He'll be coming.
I've actually got him on the first string of podcasts we did. Mm-hmm. He's actually one of those.
And he's been doing it for, he was doing it before I was
there. Yeah.
And the reason I reached out to Andre Mitchell is because his wife that passed away, she was my cousin. So I know that he uses music for therapeutic reasons. So that's why I reached out.
I think a lot of people do. I think, that's the inspiration for music and in general, especially for the.
And when people think of music therapy, they think of it as just being for therapy, but people don't think of it as being a hobby. And I want them to use it as coping skills.
It's a release.
I want them to learn how to actually write music or write lyrics and how to put it to a beat. I don't want them just to sit there and just kind of listen to music and get all in a depression mode. I want them to use it.
Be able to tell their story.
A hobby. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing is not everybody can find a rhythm, but everybody can find what they want to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Everybody can have a message.
A story.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got a story. So.
See, I can't write music, but I wrote two poetry books. So I did an auto poetry book on me.
How can people find that?
It's on lulu.com.
Lulu.com?
Yeah.
Is it?
What's the title?
One was called Shattered and one was called Then and Now. So those were they were based basically on domestic violence. They were based on
So they can look that up. Shattered like by Sheree Lyons.
Was actually under Misty.
Shattered by Misty Lyons on lulu.com.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the other one?
Then and Now.
Then and Now.
So
can you spell Lulu just because?
L-U-L-U.
L-U-L-U.com.
Mm-hmm.
We'll plug that on here too.
Because you can go down there and just go on and do that and you get your own copyright. So that way nobody gets your stuff.
No.
And it doesn't cost a lot of money.
I mean, that's something people may want to look into as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. So if someone wanted to get into the music therapy and contribute to that, how would they look into that?
They would just contact me. And then they can come in and volunteer anytime if they want to do that.
Where is that based out of? Is that?
That's with Stepstone too.
Where's Stepstone?
It's here in Bowling Green. It's actually off Ashley Circle on Andrea Street, across from Greenview Hospital.
Is there any artist like that's kind of like on your dream list or whatnot that you're trying to work with for that?
Not really. I just kind of look at local artists right now.
Yeah.
Because I think local artists needs a lot of attention.
Yeah. But is there anyone on your radar?
No, I just kind of look through Facebook, TikTok, and get those people in.
Cool.
Anybody you think might be approachable?
I just reach out to everybody.
Yeah.
I don't have problems
approaching
them. I'm not shy, I guess.
Obviously, right? You hear about that. So yeah, it's been great having you though. I appreciate what you're doing and your purpose has actually got a real meaning to it, and hopefully will definitely is impacting along the way. So.
All right, just to kind of touch on some lighter stuff, we do this little thing called rapid fire questions here at the end. We're gonna call it something different until we figure out the right name, but for now it's rapid fire. So we're gonna ask some questions and just without thought, just the first thing that comes to mind. Give some quick answers. Like I said, a little fun to have. We like to have here. So, you're ordering a pizza. What's the toppings?
Meat lovers.
Does pineapples go on pizza?
No.
Favorite 80s band?
Oh my gosh. Aerosmith.
Ooh.
Good one.
That is a good one.
Favorite genre of music?
Favorite genre?
Mm-hmm.
I would say 90s R&B.
Favorite food? You're on death row, you get a last supper. What is it?
I'm an Italian person, so chicken parmesan.
Chicken parmesan. That's a pretty good one. Okay. Favorite book?
Favorite book? The Notebook.
Author?
Nicholas Sparks.
Ooh, I put her on the spot. She fired back. You're at a restaurant. You got your food. What's your drink? What are you ordering to drink?
If it's not alcoholic, it's a sweet tea. If it's alcoholic, it's a margarita on the rocks.
Salt?
With salt.
Absolutely.
Top three movies.
Top three movies.
Mm-hmm.
Top Gun Maverick. The Notebook. The third one, I don't know.
Top two.
Third one, I don't know.
All right, budget is not an issue. What kind of car are you going to go buy?
Jaguar.
What color?
Cherry red.
Is that's it. That's the wrap up of the rapid fire. You handled it very well. Well, I definitely appreciate you coming through today. I think that hopefully this reaches a lot of people and your message gets heard. Before we end this, is there anything you'd like to add or?
No, just thanks for having me. Allowing me to get the messages out. Okay. Appreciate it.
We've kind of plugged, different things along the way, but we'll put everything here at the end as well, in the drop down, so you can, find her, and find out how you can help or be a part of this.
Yeah, we'll definitely do another segment on this child trafficking abuse situation, because I feel like that needs to get a little more spotlight from everybody, you know. So,
well, again, thanks for coming. It was nice to meet you, and everyone got to see us meet her, so we get to hear her story, and hopefully they get to work in the near future on the music therapy, and
right,
we'll see some results from that as well.
Right on. All right.